Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we are here again to commence our COVID-19 country review on this beautiful Wednesday, the 3rd of March in the year of our Lord 2021. And as advertised, as promised, we have caught what I can consider a very big fish in the COVID-19 ocean here. And we are talking about Professor Babatunde Lawal Salako. He is the Director General, Chief Executive Officer, Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. And of course, so many, 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 many things and accolades. Yeah, if I begin to read it, it's going to take another 15 minutes. And he has obliged us, just mention my name and what I do. All right, Prof. You're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, we are glad to have you, sir. And we are very much delighted that as a good public servant, within the short notice you obliged us this interview, we are very, very happy. Thank you very much for being part of Spirit of Nigeria Radio's broadcast of the COVID-19 country review 1 year after. Thank you very much.
Part of nation building.
Yes, I agree. All right, my name is Toye Arulogun, and I'll be doing the interview with you today. And of course, let's start. When you say a virus, what does it mean? Ebola virus, and how do they give some of these viruses the names? Where do they originate from? Let's start from there, sir.
Well, viruses are one of the microorganisms that you cannot see with the naked eye. And you need to see them with magnifying elements like a microscope. The same thing with other organisms like bacteria, protozoa. In the biology world, there are many like that. However, viruses have different classes and families. For the ones that is causing the coronavirus, and the COVID-19 pandemic is referred to as the coronavirus. And there are, in that class, different viruses. So we have the SARS-CoV-1, and then we have the SARS-CoV-2. And then we have the common cold, which is also a form of coronavirus. They may be, in terms of their genesis, what we call the architectural makeup of the organism, either a DNA or an RNA virus. The coronavirus is an RNA virus, and it's been the class has been seen in cartoons, in horses in Nigeria before, and before this new one. So it's not as if we do not have coronaviruses around. But this very new one causing this current pandemic is different from those other ones. But in large majority of the architecture, they may look the same to certain extent.
Okay, thank you very much. Does that now account for when they say a new strain, a new variant, you know, because we hear all of these things, and from the layman's perspective, really don't know when they say the virus will mutate. There's a new variant. What does it really mean?
When you say that an organism mutates, it means the organism has the capacity to change its architectural build-up. That is, it might decide to replace one of the proteins that make up the virus with another one. Now, the effect of that is that it makes it to be defended. If the change is very significant, if the change is not significant, it will be different from the original one, but it will not have any significant. And so they refer to them as strains when the virus mutates and changes from the original one. But when it changes, it's something very significant. Then it becomes what they call variant of interest. That is, that one is likely to be more deadlier, to be deadlier, or cause more symptoms, it may be more severe, it may affect much more people. Something different from, physically different from what the first one or the other disease strain will do. So the effect of mutation is bringing up new virus strains or variants.
Okay.
And the effect of that is that it may be important in disease severity, but it may not. Now, what you have in the UK and the South African strain, those ones have mutations, and so they are able to cause more disease, more severe disease than others. Mm. And that's why they are talking about the ability of the current vaccine to take care of them.
Okay, all right, we'll get to the issues of the vaccine later. Okay, Prof, now let's look at the entry of the virus into Nigeria. There's a school of thought which believes that we didn't close our borders early enough, and that's what allowed the, you know, arrival of the Italian that brought, well, the index case into Nigeria. Did we react swiftly enough to the coronavirus?
Yeah, I believe so, because the issue of closing the border is not as simple as we say it.
Mm.
There are so many other issues that are related to it.
True.
And the most important is the economic effect. We do not live in isolation.
That's
we
correct.
Live and interact with other countries.
Mm.
We have trade going in between us. Sometimes you have agreements signed here and there about contracts, deliverables between nations. So when you want to lock down your borders, you have to assess the economic implications, not just to the country, to the people of the country, many of whom may have their businesses affected by it. So the leadership of the country really has to look at the situation, study it very well, and come up at an appropriate time when they believe it's now inevitable for us to not to lock our borders. So then it wasn't really necessary for us to do so, because even cases have not been in many places around Africa, many places around the world. And for us to do that would be too premature. And look at when we eventually locked down.
Yes.
You realize the economic effect on the people in the country itself.
Yeah.
Let me talk of the oil, which is the basic source for our own economic growth in Nigeria. Well, it became something that even countries were beginning to pay other countries to come and take away. So it affected us so much so that locking down the borders again will be a very, very difficult decision for government to make.
All right, thank you very much. I share your sentiments on the economic effect of closing the borders. All right, so now let's move further. Now we add our index case. I want you to give us your own sense of whether the government responded appropriately, whether the people responded appropriately, and whether the medical profession responded appropriately. So there is a 3-1 question. Did government react well? Did the people react well? And, of course, the medical profession, did they react well?
Well, talking about government, I think government did react well. One, because the index case arrived in Lagos, where there had been previous experience in management of an epidemic, specifically Ebola. And that experience is still on ground. And so it was easy for Lagos State and the Federal Ministry of Health and the NCDC to build on that, to ensure that they were able to handle the situation, create an isolation center, and started almost immediately a kind of an awareness campaign for the public. They produce the NPIs, the non-pharmacological interventions, the way people should behave, and all of that we have found on both print and electronic media.
Yes.
The setback was that there were not enough molecular labs at that time that can make diagnosis of the disease beyond the 2 or 3 laboratories at the time. And government immediately set up the PTS, which was briefing the president and then the entire population of Nigeria on the daily progress about the pandemic itself. And that provides an information opportunity for individuals. So there was reduction in the panic at setting. Otherwise, a lot of people panicked at the time. There was a lot of fear about dying, about contracting the disease. But that information, more of like a public awareness, doused tension among people. And so people knew what to do, and they were doing it. And the effect of that was that we quickly flattened the curve and brought down the daily infection rate till the end of the first wave. Now, the people, I believe during the first wave, a large majority of people, I think they were moved by fear. So they engaged in the non-pharmacological interventions. And a lot of people stayed at home. Government asked people to stay at home. It was quick for government to let older people and people who have underlying diseases know that they are like targets for the disease, and therefore they should stay at home. And so we began to see that the daily rate was going down. But then there are some set of people who really didn't react well. And I think the reason is that they didn't see the type of mortality death that was caused by the virus in the US and the UK, for example. And so they really don't believe that it is the same virus that we have in Nigeria. And some people, well, knew that, well the virus is there. But the fact that there's scientific evidence that we have 80% of people with the mild to moderate, and people will survive it. And some people wonder, like, well, if 8 out of 10 will survive, why should I bother? If it catches me, I will survive.
Mm.
And these are the reasons why people really did not engage fully in the use of non-pharmacological methods, especially when we were able to flatten the curve and then reduce the daily infection rates to almost under single digits. Everybody, and then government, of course, unlocked all the locked places.
Mm.
People started to travel.
Yeah.
Social distancing almost disappeared. People were not wearing masks. The habit of hand washing and all of them disappeared. It was left with only a small number of people in the country. And that gave rise to the beginning of the second wave.
Yes.
And so the second wave this time around caught people unaware. So a lot more people appeared to have been affected. And it also looked like the clinical implication was more, because a lot more people were requiring oxygen. The way we were talking about oxygen during the second wave was not the way we were talking about oxygen used during the first wave.
Certainly
even
not.
Even though we knew that people required oxygen. So the second wave caught a lot of people unaware, and a lot more people became sick and they were requiring oxygen. Now we are also going down because we heightened the campaign towards use of NPI, and a lot of drugs started flying around and people were taking them, whether they worked or not, with any little simple evidence, we started to take all of them. Maybe all of these put together, then is seeing us now going down in the number, daily infection rate in the second wave. And the second wave appears to be going down as we've seen the numbers in the last few weeks. The danger of it is that if it does go down and we go back to our usual way without the MPIs, a third wave can come. And the wave can come in succession until we are able to reach herd immunity such that the infection cannot go around within the country again. And the best way for herd immunity and the shortest way for it is the vaccination. Now we have vaccines that have come into the country, even though that is so small compared to our population.
Yeah.
But then more will come.
Certainly.
And I believe that what we need to do is to start to talk to people who don't believe that the virus exists, or people who do not want to take the vaccine, that they needed to take the vaccine. Because it is the only way the nation can reach the required herd immunity that can stop the progression of the disease. And I believe once they start seeing people taking it and nothing is happening to them, some people will also join the queue.
Okay, seeing is believing.
Now, the medical profession.
Yes, sir.
The medical profession has always been ready, even though when we talk about numbers per million population, it's small. Whether you're talking about doctors, nurses, therapists, collaborative scientists, we do not have enough for our nation. And however, the system is also weak. The health system is also weak. So the infection came, that was the first challenge of being able to make diagnosis. And the disease had similarity in terms of clinical presentation with common diseases like malaria or common cold. And so a lot of people will have that and think that what they have is malaria or common cold, whereas it's the virus. But there's no way you can diagnose because we have a relatively very small number of laboratories that could do that. But now, we have more than 100 of such laboratories scattered around the country, even involving private facilities. So people really who want to have the test can have the test without much ado, as it were now. The issue of PPI is also something that we didn't have enough. And PPI are consumables. They are not like machines that if you buy them today, they may last for 10 years or 15 years. PPI is something you get now, you use it now, and that's it. Then, the way the doctors and the other healthcare put some of the PPIs on when they go to see the patients in the isolation center, you will not believe it that doing that for one doctor may cost as much as between 50 and 70,000. And once he uses it and comes out and removes it, that's the end of it.
Wow.
And so look at how many times they need to do that in a day. How many isolation centers that is going to happen? So government then had what I can call a financial budget, because government train is always full anyway, with demanding or contending issues. And here we have the pandemic, which is now being prioritized. So the little that they have to be put on this, and this was not enough. It really tested the capacity of government to be able to fund health issues. And this is not only in Nigeria. Even in the U.S., at some point, the PPIs disappeared. It's because of the rate that it was being used at the time. However, if we look at our health system, which is a weak one, and the way we have been able to ensure that this really did not go out of hand, we will say that they have done quite well, and that government on its part has done the little they can to support all the hospitals to have molecular laboratories. Government also came up with COVID-19 intervention for teaching hospital and other tertiary hospital research laboratories, NCD, so that we are all able to participate in the control of the disease, either in the area of diagnosis or in the area of research and treatment. So for me, I would say that everybody has done the thing that they can, and I believe that their participation and efforts are significant enough and have contributed to how far we have been able to control the pandemic as of today.
All right, thank you very much, Professor Babatunde Lawal-Salako, Director General, Chief Executive Officer, Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. And I tell you, I've been enjoying you from the very beginning. You're making it look so and sound so easy and simple with me. I thought I wouldn't be able to comprehend a lot of this, but you've broken it down so well. All right, let me now speak on behalf of the layman on the streets so that the way you've said it to me, I'm sure you'll be able to respond to some of these questions. Okay, just in case you are joining us, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we are doing our COVID-19 country review. And our first guest is Professor Babatunde Lawal-Salako, Director General, Chief Executive Officer, Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. Prof, so far you've carried me along very well. Now, let me represent the people on the streets. We talked about molecular labs of over 100. Do we have enough labs vis-a-vis the population? And I want you to look at this in relation to the less than 2% of the population of Nigeria that have even tested, you know, for COVID.
Less than 2% that have done what?
That have gone for the test. They've done the test.
Okay, yeah. Well, you see, the number of people that have done the test should not be blamed on the fact that you don't have enough SRC alone. It should also be blamed on the individuals who should go for tests, who have not gone for tests. For my own knowledge, the government institutions carry out the test for free. But there are also private institutions. For people who don't have the time or the processes in the government institutions.
Exactly the point. That's what our people are saying. People are saying 52,000 naira, 50,400 is a bit on the high side. That's why they can't afford the test.
Because what we have is a new disease and a new way of diagnosing it. And until we have cheaper ways that we make it available at the doorstep of people, that is what we have for now. However, most government institutions and laboratories still run it for free. We have started a drive-through in Lagos since March 30.
Wow.
And as I speak, it is still running.
A drive-through, you say?
Yes, a drive-through and a walk-through.
Wow.
Driving, you get your test done, and leave the place.
This is at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research?
Yes, at Yaba.
Yaba, okay.
And this has run for 1 year now.
Wow.
And as far as I know, nobody has gone there and had to pay a cover.
Wow.
To get the test done.
Hmm.
So we do for like 100 and something on a daily basis.
Really?
And this is being sponsored partly by government. Government provided the test and the test laboratory and the environment. And we have some public treated individuals who have been also helping us to get PPIs that our people use. And some stipend for people who are doing the test there for others. Now, because we didn't have enough hands, we started what we call the do-it-yourself kind of test. So you can get there, watch our video with some instructions, and you do the test yourself.
Really?
This
is news.
So that has been going on for the past 3 months now.
Really?
And I know people who have gone there and did the test themselves can attest to this. Ooh. And it's still ongoing. However, for whole of Nigeria is about 200 million people. I don't think 100 molecular laboratories is enough. But But putting up a molecular laboratory is not a joke, because it's a lot of money, apart from the technical know-how that is required.
True.
For those who will maintain it, the machine, the test kit, okay, the storage, electricity, all of that are required. So government, as much as I know, is doing enough. I think that a lot of state governments need to do much more than they are doing.
Wow.
A lot of state governments are looking up to the federal government. What are they using their own budget for? They have their people. They are supposed to take care of their people. But everybody is waiting for the center to come and build a laboratory in their state. When some states have universities, they have scientists who know about this, who could build the same laboratory for them, who could service the laboratory. So we need to talk to state government to take up some of these things. How many laboratories has any of these state governments built since this COVID started? How many? Except for Lagos State, which we are aware they have at a number. But for most other states, they will build one laboratory and will be celebrating it. For a population of more than 5 to 10 million?
Yeah.
I think the governors need to look at that area and increase the number of laboratories, even if they are going to use the sanitarial district. So let's keep 2-3 testing centers in the area. And then the people in the grassroots will have access to those. But when the only place where laboratory this is coming from is from the federal government, and the federal government fighting all sorts of wars here and there, so many things to do, I think it's high time for the state government to start doing their bit in this thing, so that we don't just sit down and leave it to federal government. That's why they are chief executive of their state. So I believe that if we put all hands on deck, we can increase the number of laboratories and a lot more people can. So for us at our center, we have even developed a test kit that can do the test in less than 40 minutes and can be taken to places outside the hospital or government areas, or may even be kept at the level of primary health care center with little training. The challenge has been that you needed a machine to work with the test kit, which is a G16 ISO machine. It's like the PCR machine, other big laboratories are using. And that is the regulatory test. If we are able to get that in large numbers, then it can be taken to all those areas. Even at the airport, you have people who are paying, and then they need to pay and go and be doing tests somewhere. If you have like a pipe of salt, we can do 16 tests, 22 tests in 40 minutes. People can actually wait, get their sample taken, and get the thing done, and leave the place without needing to go back. So this is one area of improvement that we can offer if we have the appropriate support for that.
All right, Prof, I hear you loud and clear, and I'm very much impressed with what the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research is doing and will continue to do from what I see and what I hear you say. The only challenge I have is that this is not known to a lot of people. Even the people in the studio with me here, their eyes are just opening wide, like, ah, really? You know, if it's that easy, you can just walk through or you can, you know, drive through, then maybe there needs to be some more awareness that we need to create for, you know, what you're doing at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. And I also agree with you, sir, that yes, the state governments must do a lot more, you know, for the people. I agree absolutely. Okay, thank you very much. And I think that the other question now is, looking at it globally, why is
the effect of COVID-19 or the coronavirus not as devastating in Nigeria, in Africa, compared to the Western world. The figures we are seeing in America, the figures we are seeing in Europe, far way beyond, you know, what we're seeing in Nigeria. Is it because we are not testing enough? Or what do you consider the reasons for this?
Well, so many things have been mentioned concerning this. But perhaps the most plausible is the young generation that we have in Nigeria and Africa generally. The younger people are stronger, with better immunity, and are able to stand the infection and develop their own antibodies against the infection. That is the major one. The other issue is the fact that we have continued in Africa to have immunization, all sorts of immunization. And some of these immunizations will build up different antibodies in our body that may...
All right, it's the Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we're just conversing there, doing a country review of COVID-19 in Nigeria with Professor Babatunde Lawal Salako. He is the Director General and Chief Executive Officer, Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, and I think we just lost the connection there. And I'm sure we'll hook up back to him right now once we... are able to do that, we'll put him back on air. But he's been giving us a very interesting perspective or review of what is happening or what has been happening in Nigeria in terms of COVID-19. We started with closing the borders, and it felt for economic reasons we didn't need to do that almost immediately. And of course, right now we have him back. Okay, Prof, welcome back. We just had the network break there.
Thank you.
Okay, so please go ahead. You were talking about the young generation, you were talking about our antibodies, and then immunization. Yes.
So some of these immunizations, which are also in some viruses, have been thought to have some cross reactivity, against coronavirus, such that that has some kind of protection of some sort.
Mm.
Okay? And then, of course, the other bit, which really doesn't sound scientific, but which is also possible, is that you have an African environment, a tropical environment that is not too clean. People come in contact with all sorts of viruses, bacteria, any organism, almost on a daily basis. And all of these organisms would have evoked in our body different types of antibodies. And again, some of these antibodies may, one way or the other, have cross-reactivity with the coronavirus. Even if they do not kill the virus, they may be able to reduce its ability to cause disease in an African environment. So I always joke that this is more like the nuisance value of an African environment compared to
positive ones,
the environment
sir.
In the West. The environment in the West, everywhere is almost clean. And the people are almost sterile. So they are not as strong as those of us here. They don't have all the antibodies that we have, they don't have them. And more so, they have a lot of aged people. And not just being by age alone. They have aged people who have survived cancer, survived heart attack, and survived all sorts of diseases. And they were still living. So these people are not able to withstand the infection compared to us. And that's why they were dying in the zone when you compare them to Africa. I believe these are the reasons why we have those changes. But having said that, we don't want the younger people to think that they are invisible to the virus. Because the second wave, people are propounding theories that it was more in the younger people. And I say, yes, because the older people have learned that they are more at risk,
Yes.
They can easily die. So they've learned to stay at home. They've learned to not to go to any unnecessary parties or meetings or let this happen. So it's the younger people that are moving around and feeling great that nothing can happen. And that's why you now have a lot of infections among them. So this is the situation as far as I know.
All right, thank you very much, Professor Babatunde Lawal Salako, Director General, Chief Executive Officer of the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. I am enjoying you, and when I confess openly on air, believe it is true. All right, let's take a case. I don't know how I want to put it, but maybe when I finish the question, you would appreciate what I'm talking about. Kogi State, in the last 6 to 8 weeks, has retained only the figure 5. You know, even this morning when we were doing the COVID-19 review, Kogi State is still standing at 5. 5 cases lab confirmed. Nobody is on admission. 3 people discharged, 2 people dead. Meanwhile, the other states, the figures are going high. What do you think is responsible for this? And of course, add to this fact, the perception, the stance, the body language of the governor of Kogi State at the very beginning, you know, and it seems to be working for the state.
Well, I think that if you are not doing enough tests, you cannot say that you do not have the disease in your state. Before, the governor was saying the disease was not in your state. Now we find 5, and I'm sure you can find more. Now, the disease itself has what they call a reproduction number of 4, meaning one case can affect 4 people. Now, the virus in the second wave was even much more infective than that. So, if you have 5, you might have had 4 from each of those. So, what we are seeing is not what is actually the true picture. And I'll give you an example. We just concluded a study in 4 states in Nigeria, Lagos State inclusive, to determine the burden of coronavirus, COVID-19 in Nigeria. How many people have actually come in contact with the virus? As opposed to the figures that is being declared on a daily basis.
True.
And we have found that in Lagos State, there are 33% of people in Lagos State.
Did you say 23 or 33? 23%.
So if you take the state of 20 million as we quote for Lagos State,
yes,
that takes to about 4.7 million people in Lagos State alone that has developed or that has come in contact with the COVID-19 virus. And yet, what's been declared so far in the whole of Nigeria is still less than 200,000.
Yes.
So what we are able to capture by monitoring is different from what is in the community. The true picture of what is in the community is what I've just said. The same thing for Enugu, and I think Jigawa and Gombe. Now we are planning to do for Sokoto and I think Edo.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no. What's the other one? The state after Edo.
Delta.
So that we can look at the zones of the country to complete that and be able to extrapolate that to the whole of the country. To be able to say, this is perhaps the number of people who have come in contact with the disease in Nigeria. So the same thing will be with death. Even though we are not seeing what can be described as wholesale death in our community, people are dying. A lot of the older people are dying from coronavirus. Nobody is reporting them. If we have a policy that says every death before they are buried must have a coronavirus test, we will be able to determine what percentage of people that are dying that have had COVID-19 infection. That will be the surest way of being able to know how many people are dying from coronavirus infection in Nigeria. So, COVID-19 figure is not real. And I don't believe that what they have is correct. I don't know how many laboratories they have. Maybe one. The doctor wants to show us that there is no COVID-19 in the state. He should have 50 laboratories or establish one in every hospital.
Okay, but
I have so a lot of people are having the infection silently in the community, and because 80% or more of the disease is mild, meaning it will not make you feel seriously unwell. Just a bit of business here, pain there, a little bit of something, and then within the next few days, you are up and about. So you don't think that is the disease. That's why we are able to get a lot more people in the community when we did the antibody test.
All right, thank you very much. As we wind down, sir, COVID-19 is here. Everybody says, medical experts say that it's here to stay with us. How do you recommend that we cope or contend or abate or ameliorate the effects of COVID-19 on Nigeria? Since it's here, there's nothing else we can do about it.
Well, the only way, should I say, there are two ways.
Okay, sir.
And the first one is vaccination. Maybe I should say there are three ways. The first one is vaccination. The second one is vaccination. Then the third one is the MPI. I have to say that because there are a lot of people who are saying they will not take the vaccine. And I say that it is like inviting death, especially if you are older than 60. If you have the opportunity, you should please take the vaccine. The younger people, if they say that, well, maybe they think that they can survive it. But we've seen younger people who are dying from coronavirus, COVID-19. Infection.
All right. While I agree with you, sir. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to, sorry to butt in. While I agree with you, sir, but if you're talking about people above the age of 60, look at the, from what we've heard and seen on television in terms of how the government is going to be administering the vaccination, I think that there's something, you know, not too particularly correct about it. If you look at the fact that they are emphasizing more of government officials, what about the aged? Those people that are, 60, like you said, and above, they should be given priority for the vaccination.
Well, yes, we have only 4 million doses now.
Yes.
And there is what some people describe as vaccine apathy. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to take it. You need your trusted leaders to be in the forefront, to take the vaccine in the full glare of the public.
Okay.
And you continue to see them perform their function on a daily basis.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
That's why government is emphasizing on the non-pharmacological method.
Yeah.
That even when you have taken the vaccine, you must continue to use your face mask. You must continue to do your social distancing, hand washing, and all of that until we are able to get to the level of herd immunity. It's after that we can do away with masks. If you are not at that level, no matter how many people that we have vaccinated, we will still not be able to control it. That's why people who are saying that they will not take the vaccine are not helping the nation. Because they will not be counted. They will not form part of the number that we require to get to level of herd immunity. And if we don't get to herd immunity, the disease will still continue to ravage the people. So everybody has to state diversity. At least we need to get to 70 to 80% of Nigeria. That's about 140 to 160 million people needed to be vaccinated. So for us to say, oh, we might begin to look at case fatality rates, infection rates, everything is going down. In the countries where the vaccine has started, in the UK and US, for example, they have started noticing and infection rate is going down. And it's due to effect of vaccination. So we should take the vaccine. There are no other ways to it.
All right. Thank you very much, Prof. That's a very nice way or nice point to hang this conversation, our first in the series of COVID-19 Country Review on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And I would like to say very big thank you to Professor Babatunde Lawal Salako. Indeed, I've been a student of yours. I've just been writing and writing and writing. I'm sure I can now do an interview on COVID-19, and I'll be regurgitating all the things you've said today, and they will think I'm an expert. But I really loved it. You've really broken it down, and I'm very amazed and impressed with what you're doing at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. Thank you very much for obliging us this 1 hour of yours, Professor Babatunde Lawal Salako, Director General, Chief Executive Officer, Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. We hope any other time we call you, you will oblige us. And of course, we'll promote the things that you've said today so that more Nigerians, more Lagosians can know about what you're doing at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. Thank you very much. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you again.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Okay, still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we continue with our COVID-19 country review as we step it up to the level of vaccines, and we'll be talking with Dr. Dele Oguremi. He will be sharing his views on the vaccines. Dr. Dele Oguremi is a research scientist, Canadian Food Inspection Agency, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. And that interview was done by Dr. AG. And of course, in the next 45 minutes to 1 hour, you will hear a lot more about the vaccine on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.